This video you clicked on right now is partially funded by BlackRock, as YouTube Who Pays Us is run by Google, which has given 7% of its shares to BlackRock. But just take a look at everything around you. The building complex you live in is either owned by them or being eyed up by BlackRock. The food you order on Uber Eats again has given at least 7% of their stock to BlackRock. The car you drive, the computer and phone used to watch this, the coffee you drink in the morning, the airlines you use, the energy and electricity and politicians you vote for are all controlled by BlackRock. Every day in your life, the habits, purchases, addictions, and beliefs are all molded by a single company. We're all funded by them, whether you know it or not. And now, BlackRock is literally trying to control the very AI algorithms that will transform the entire economy and society we live in to cement their position of unabetting power. But sure, by now we've all seen the videos and memes talking about BlackRock, the company that owns everything, and then we move on and invest with them in the S&P 500 and forget about it. There's just nothing you can do. Yet, without even realizing it, every day of your life is actually being made ever so slightly worse by them. And the only way this can stop is once we are all truly aware of how badly each and every one of you watching is, without exaggeration, being screwed. Because on the surface, it's strange that a company this mind-blowingly powerful is almost never talked about on TV. It's never mentioned in the newspapers or by politicians or even journalists. Why is this? Why does nobody really know that much about what BlackRock's truly doing? Sure, there's a few videos here and there talking about it, but the true extent of their power is never really mentioned. Maybe it's because they're one of the biggest shareholders in Disney, Fox, Comcast, Warner Brothers, and Discovery, basically every major media network on Earth. But it isn't just controlling the narrative directly by doing this, but it does make sure that all the media companies it invests in have strong incentives not to bite the hand that feeds them. Media companies have no reason to dig too deeply into their owner, especially knowing that it won't do them any favors. But it's not just with the media companies. BlackRock has now recently started turning its attention to AI, the next frontier of information influence, the stuff that's controlling the hearts and minds of the new generation. It's why in the past year, BlackRock has poured billions into data infrastructure, buying stakes in AI-related firms and even the physical backbone that keeps them running. I mean, it's now one of the largest institutional investors in ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, and it recently spent $40 billion acquiring Align Data Centers, which owns dozens of enormous data complexes across the US and South America. Larry Fink, BlackRock's infamous CEO, says that AI will completely transform the global economy, and he's putting all of BlackRock's resources behind it. Because what makes AI so lucrative is the power it consumes, not just the algorithms or data. If the AI that everyone's addicted to needs all this enormous amount of energy, then if BlackRock can control the energy, they can control the entire supply. But before we continue, flavored air is quickly becoming the leading alternative to vaping and smoking, and at the forefront of it all is Fume. Have you ever caught yourself reaching for a bad habit without even thinking about it? Maybe it's out of stress, boredom, or just wanting to fit in. Well, that's where Fume comes in. It's not about quitting, it's about replacing. Fume, the sponsor of today's video, offers a simple and enjoyable way to break away from bad habits while still having something satisfying to reach for. Fume is an award-winning flavored air device that delivers great taste without any harmful chemicals. So instead of inhaling vapor, you simply breathe in natural food-grade ingredients that satisfy the craving without the addiction. Whether you're looking to keep your hands busy or curb an urge, Fume's premium wooden design is built for both flavor and function. The magnetic fidget provides an extra layer of satisfaction, making it perfect for relieving stress or staying focused. It's why Fume just feels premium in your hand and is so easy to take anywhere, whether you're at work, traveling, or just relaxing at home. Personally, my go-to flavor is crisp mint because it's super refreshing and keeps me feeling sharp throughout the day. But Fume does offer a ton of other flavors, so there's something for everyone. It's why over 700,000 people have already made the switch to Fume as part of their habit change journey. So if you're ready to try it for yourself, now's the time. As for a limited time, if you order the Journey Pack using my code MOON, you'll get a free Fume topper, an awesome accessory to level up your experience. So click the link tryfume.com/moon or scan the QR code on screen to get yours today. And with experts now thinking that AI could double or even triple global data center power demand within the next decade, BlackRock realized that the real choke point in the AI economy isn't who makes the models, but who owns the power infrastructure that feeds them. So the company is investing not just just in the digital world, but also the physical infrastructure that keeps it running. So not only will your job, the algorithms you depend on, and all of the internet being controlled on the back end by BlackRock, but they'll also start to begin to control and manipulate the energy all of us rely on to survive. In a new move for BlackRock that could serve as an experiment for future ambitions, BlackRock is currently trying to buy Minnesota Power, which keeps the lights on for around 150,000 people. And if this deal succeeds, it will mean that the same company that influences what you watch on screen will now start to also decide how much you pay to power the screen. Minnesota is just the first stop, and locals are definitely not happy and are rightfully worried that bills will now shoot up, jobs will be cut, and accountability could just vanish. And then this will soon spread to every other state when it works. It's all part of BlackRock's openly stated plans. They call it infrastructure with a captive rate base, which translates to things customers can't walk away from. The logic is simple. When you own the servers, the algorithms, and the electricity that runs them, you don't just profit from the digital economy, you also own the real one. From media networks to AI data centers to the infrastructure that powers them, the logic for BlackRock just doesn't change. Whoever has control owns the future. If you fund all the major companies that run the world, then nobody can stop you and nobody can talk about it. Which is very helpful for BlackRock, because if you right now really knew what BlackRock was actually doing, how they were draining your wealth and shaping your life for the worse every single day, you would be outraged. America would be outraged. The entire world would be outraged. And so the less it's reported on, the less people care about it, the easier they can continue to extract global wealth. So it's time once and for all to finally pull the veil back and truly see how this company is ripping away all of the core tenets of a fulfilling life away from you. You wake up early and rush out the door to start another commute to work. You sit in front of a computer or stand behind a counter all day. The hours then trickle by, you meet deadlines and do everything asked of you. But at the end of each month, you kind of just feel like you're back where you started. There's no real growth, there's no real increase in your bank balance. The effort never pays off. Rent keeps going up, prices keep going up, and your wages are always barely enough to cover living expenses. You see online everyone trying to flex that they've escaped this rat race. And yet it seems like everyone around you has the feeling of grinding out but never really getting anywhere. And until recently, this was quite a rare scenario. As in many ways, we all know we are going backwards at this point. By most measures, people today are just genuinely poorer than they were in the 70s and 80s. If we go back 70, 80 years, economic growth in countries like the US and UK was huge. It was about 3 to 4%, double or more than what it is today. This period was known as the golden age of capitalism. And it wasn't just golden for business owners and rich people, it was actually a great time to just be a normal person too. In the US from 1948 to 1973, productivity grew by 97%. And the average worker pay by 91%. As the economy grew, so did workers' wages. But this started to change in the late 1970s. Productivity kept growing, but workers' wages basically flatlined, and this has continued to this day. Between 1979 and 2020, productivity rose by 62%, but typical worker pay rose by just 17%. The extra money had to go somewhere, and if it wasn't going to workers, who was benefiting from this? Well, you see, in just one generation, the balance of power inside companies flipped. The model we saw after World War II, where workers shared in the gains of a company, made way for a new model where virtually every extra dollar made went to the shareholders. As pensions and savings moved into Wall Street in the 80s and 90s, firms like BlackRock emerged, which then managed those savings but also used them to reshape the system in their favor. They told companies to cut costs, automate, outsource, and freeze pay, auto-unlock shareholder value. If you've ever been told that your department needs to tighten its belts, or that bonuses are frozen, or that your job is being cut while stock prices soar, that's the result of this in practice. The profits didn't vanish, they just stopped going to you. And at the heart of this new system is BlackRock. It's the biggest shareholder in almost all major corporations, and it quietly gets companies to do what it wants by voting at shareholder meetings and engaging behind the scenes with executives and board members. It doesn't order them around explicitly, but it makes sure they know that by far the most important thing is the share price. Because for BlackRock, obviously this is all that matters. The higher the share price is, the higher their returns will be, and the easiest way to boost the share price is to cut costs, starting with wages, the biggest cost of all. We can see this most clearly in what is known as stock buybacks. A generation ago, buybacks was an incredibly rare thing. Today, the overall value of share buybacks this year reached $1 trillion. Apple alone purchased over $100 billion of its own stock in the last year.
Goldman Sachs raising its share buyback forecast for S&P 500 companies. The firm citing stronger than expected mega cap tech earnings growth here within this and the reasoning for it. And one of the huge things that is going into it in this note, they said they expect 16% growth in share repurchases from those companies to $1.08 trillion in 2025. That comes after a rise that we saw in, or expecting to see, in $925 billion worth in 2024 here.
So what actually is this? Well, it typically involves a company buying its own shares to boost the prices of the shares left. Since BlackRock owns the majority shares of most major companies, this makes the value of its portfolio increase. And this then makes it seem like BlackRock is delivering better returns and helps it attract new clients and charge higher fees. This is the cycle that BlackRock will always want. Cut costs, suppress wages, and use the savings to buy back your own stock. Which is great if you're at the top, but terrible for almost everyone else. As the pressure to cut costs doesn't just mean layoffs, it's also completely changed what work actually feels like in the modern world, where hiring is just automated, where you just have to deal with faceless questionnaires, applications are then filtered by algorithms that see you as nothing more than a few data points, all without ever seeing a single human. And then even inside companies, people are increasingly managed by software instead of humans, where every task, minute, and keystroke is tracked, every hour of true productivity is monitored, where work isn't about skill or creativity anymore, but about compliance, about fitting neatly into the system, making the entire human side of businesses feel just completely useless, letting giant corporations become more and more bureaucratic. This is what the financialization of the corporate world looks like up close. Jobs with no meaning, people reduced to complete numbers, and the hopes of working hard to get control of your life stripped away, and probably just replaced by a new software update. So you get back from your soulless job after a long hard week and wonder what it's even all for. You're overcaffeinated, completely sleep deprived, reduced to a number, your personality stripped away by HR, but at least maybe one day you'll own your own home. And yet every time you check, it seems like prices climb faster than your pay. Every month's rent just vanishes before you can even think about saving. And the idea of buying your own place and putting down roots in a community and talking with your neighbors is basically unimaginable at this point. The best you can do in a city is even just live in a skybox. And even in the neighborhoods you grew up in, you'll notice something strange. The houses are no longer even owned by real people anymore. They're literally owned by giant Wall Street funds. Because after the 2008 financial crisis, private equity giants like Blackstone and later asset managers like BlackRock began buying up homes in bulk. Whole streets, entire neighborhoods were then snapped up at foreclosure auctions. This was the start of a new kind of landlordism, one that's poisoning America today. One where people collecting your rent aren't even individuals or local owners, but global investment firms managing billions in other people's money, literally controlling the flow of information and the control of money. Because the logic for these companies does make a lot of sense. It's easier to generate long-term returns through rent than buying and selling. If you just buy up a ton of real estate, hike up rents, and squeeze tenants for all they can, everyone will have to pay and there's no other option. Which is why today, suddenly out of nowhere, there are now a bunch of American cities where one in every five single-family homes is now owned by an institutional investor. Before the 80s, it was essentially zero. The outcome of these groups like BlackRock owning so many homes is also that there are obviously fewer homes available for people to ever buy. This then reduces the supply and makes it even harder for ordinary people to get on the housing ladder and escape the trap of renting, all whilst pushing up the house prices that BlackRock is sitting on. And this is literally planned out. Similar companies like Blackstone even became the largest landlord of all single-family homes in the US, through its company Invitation Homes, and owns around 80,000 homes. Tenants report that their rent shot up, maintenance became so much worse, and eviction threats increased, all while executives say they've unlocked shareholder value once again. And it's not just America where this is happening. After the Eurozone debt crisis in the early 2010s, in Spain, thousands of families who had just lost their jobs were also now losing their homes. Entire apartment blocks were then bought up by Blackstone, a company that almost no one had ever heard of. Overnight, residents then found out that the new landlord wasn't a neighbor or a local housing association, but just a giant fund in New York. Once again, the same pattern emerged. Rent shot up, maintenance became non-existent, eviction notices appeared on doors. Communities that had been stable for decades started to be completely hollowed out. People protested in the streets against the government to get answers as to who was actually behind all of this. But the names were always hidden behind shell companies. companies, faceless figures and names. What they didn't realize was that Blackstone and BlackRock had now become the biggest landlords. BlackRock specifically exerts its influence more indirectly through the enormous amount of capital it steers into property markets. By funneling pensions and savings into real estate funds and developers, it helps financialize housing even more, turning homes into investment assets instead of places to live. And it isn't just housing, of course. BlackRock is one of the biggest investors in all of the world's major energy giants like Shell and ExxonMobil, as well as all renewable firms, so it actually profits whenever your gas and electric bills go up. Meaning there is actually no way to protest this. Governments can't take any action, as BlackRock already owns all the major critical infrastructure running the world. And as we saw in Spain, the effects are devastating. One renter in social housing lost both his job and was allowed by the council to pay a reduced rate. This then changed when these companies bought up his flat, where he was then told he owed over $5,000 to the company. And when he said he couldn't pay, he was then promptly sent an eviction notice. Another woman in Madrid saw her rent go up by 10 times after Blackstone bought her flat, and then had to rely on charity handouts to feed her kids. Back in the US, it's the exact same story. Whether it be charging $95 if their rent is 1 minute late, or putting your house up for sale instead of making the repairs you requested for, leaving you without a home and any notice. And this is going to get more and more common, and houses are going to get less and less affordable at the exact same time. And the data tells us exactly why. In the 70s, the average home cost around 3 times the median income. Today, it costs around 6 times that. In the 1990s, the average age at which someone bought their first home was 28. Today, it's 38. Rents always go up more quickly than wages. And since 2020, wages have grown by around 20%, but rents have shot up by around 30%. Hard work doesn't pay off anymore. Does it even matter that you're making decent money and getting wage increases every year if the amount you're spending on rent is going up by more and there's no chance of you ever buying a home? And so at this point, you might just feel totally exhausted and just burnt out. You're working longer hours just to keep your head above the water, and some faceless mega corporation is secretly putting your rent up again. The idea of just owning a house at this point feels like a boomer joke, so you're struggling to find the energy to stay hopeful for the future. But you just get on with your life like we all do, and you're grateful you're not in a situation where you can't afford the basics like food, clothes, and other essentials. However, you do start to notice that wherever you look, wherever you shop, prices just go up. More so than even inflation accounts for, way more than your pay packet. And that's when you realize there is no escape. The exact same system that we've just spoken about applies to all businesses. Capitalism is supposed to make life better for consumers through competition, so if different companies in an industry have to fight for your business, they'll give you lower prices, better service, and more options. But for this to actually work, markets have to be competitive. But if you've got something like BlackRock, that's known for its universal ownership, it doesn't just pick one or two of its favorite firms to invest in and hope they outperform their rivals. It owns the entire industry and eliminates the risk altogether of losing any investor cash. Whether it be from airlines to clothes, energy, tech, and banking and homes, BlackRock is always the main investor in almost every company. It's the biggest investor in the top 4 US airlines. It's the top 2 or 3 investor in every US big pharma company and healthcare company. It's a major shareholder in all 6 big US banks, and in both Coca-Cola and Pepsi. You just get the idea by this point, and we see where this leads. In airlines, it means cabins are packed tighter and tighter every year, while seats shrink and prices go up. All while it gets dirtier and dirtier. With future projections showing that passengers may soon be stacked up right on top of each other like human cattle. Choosing your seat, even on nice airlines like American and Delta, is now something you pay for, luggage, even water. All while the actual planes themselves like Boeing start to become more and more unreliable, with an increasing amount of crashes. Ryanair is now even floating the idea of charging customers to use the toilets. In food, we see portions shrinking down and ingredients getting worse and more toxic. In fact, one study even found that as much as 1/3 of common groceries have now shrunk since COVID alone. When the same investor sits behind every competitor, the problem is that there's no incentive for firms to battle for your cash. Nike gains and Adidas loses. This tug of war is exactly what keeps prices down and promotes innovation, because companies need to figure out how to give consumers lower prices without actually reducing quality and turning them away. But universal ownership is just subtly changing the game. If a company like BlackRock is invested in both Nike and Adidas, then one company doing better than the other makes no difference, as it just wants the entire industry as a whole to increase profits. It doesn't actually care which company survives. And the best way to do this is if all companies in an industry raise prices together and don't have to compete for customers. We can see it clearly with the US airline industry. Since 2009, average domestic airfares have risen by roughly 40% in real terms once you include fees and extras. Profits also unsurprisingly reached record highs in the late 2010s, even as service quality declined. So economists looked into this, and they found that a big part of that rise wasn't down to fuel or inflation. It was literally down to just ownership. When the same asset managers own all the major airlines, they stop fighting for customers and start quietly raising prices altogether. One study found that fares were up to 11% higher than they otherwise would have been. And you can see the same stuff with banking, where common ownership by asset managers results in higher fees and worse lending conditions. So let's just zoom out. You're struggling to make enough money. The work that you do feels more and more soulless and run by algorithms. Everything seems to be getting more outlandishly expensive. Or while the actual quality of services never seems to improve. You see that the stock market and economy is going up, and yet everyone around you is poorer than they've ever felt. So you tell yourself that maybe, hopefully, all this struggling will actually be worth it in the end. You grind harder, skip holidays, have less leisure time. You don't own anything, but at least one day you'll get the reward of getting to stop and having time for yourself at the end of your life. This is, of course, what retirement is supposed to be, the promise that makes everything else somewhat worthwhile. But as you slowly get older, you'll now start to realize that even this is gonna get taken away from you. The pension that was meant to provide freedom now feels like a trap, and your savings don't go as far. Markets crash, fees eat away at your balance, and the retirement age keeps getting pushed further and further back. The thing is that the same companies that made life expensive, the ones that own your landlord and your supermarket, are now the ones also managing your future. As asset managers like BlackRock were originally created to look after your savings and grow your pension so that you can retire comfortably. This is why more than half of BlackRock's $11 trillion empire comes from retirement funds. This is why over the last 40 years, guaranteed pensions have been replaced by 401ks and private accounts, funneling trillions into firms like BlackRock, who then use this money to gain more leverage and power. And so now, instead of security, workers then carry the risk while asset managers use all of this money to gain more control and influence. They'll collect the fees, win or lose. Because your pension fund now gives your savings to BlackRock, BlackRock then uses that money to buy shares in the world's biggest companies. Suddenly, no one can speak out about them because they back almost everyone. These companies rely on BlackRock, so much so that they are always under pressure to focus on shareholder returns, cutting costs instead of raising wages, buying back stock instead of reinvesting, raising prices instead of improving products, whilst also squeezing the entire workforce. And that's when you start to realize this entire system has gone so far that they now also control governments. As you might be wondering, how could this be allowed to happen? Surely someone's stopping this or regulating this. Why is no one in the media or news even talking about it? Isn't the government supposed to act on your behalf by setting rules and constraining corporate power? Well, in theory, yes, but in reality, the people writing the rules don't actually live in the same world as the people they're writing the rules for. They are all being bought out by the exact same forces. And oftentimes, they're just the very same people, government officials used to work at BlackRock and BlackRock staff now work in government. It's all part of the revolving door, where former executives from BlackRock move into top positions in the US Treasury and Federal Reserve. And former Treasury and Fed officials, people who set the rules, leave government and then take up jobs at BlackRock. Then, if there's any economic troubles, BlackRock bails out the government and gets even more control. During COVID, the Fed even hired BlackRock to help design and manage its massive bond buying programs, effectively outsourcing this key policy making decisions to the very firm that stood to benefit from it. And unless you're stinking rich already, when you're in government, you're probably not going to bring in regulations that have too negative an effect on BlackRock, especially when you decide to leave government for that extra cash. They call this the golden escalator. And so the result is, no one's ever going to denounce BlackRock or even just speak about it. And it's not just in the US. BlackRock advises European governments on how to manage its debt, shape climate policy through its huge stakes in fossil fuels and renewable companies, and pushing for reforms in developing countries to help further its interests, giving more and more money out to governments, and then using this to exert more influence, steering government policy in its favor. In China, the relationship goes even deeper. BlackRock is one of the only few Western investment companies given permission to operate a wholly owned mutual fund business in China, and it was the first first firm to do so. This is a privilege even the biggest banks aren't given. So what did they do to get this privilege? Well, BlackRock played a crucial role in helping the Chinese Communist Party attract Western money and modernize its financial markets, funneling billions into Chinese companies, and growing the CCP's economy and helping out the government. Yes, one of the main adversaries of the US is funded by BlackRock. It's why Beijing literally treats BlackRock as a trusted partner instead of a foreign company. And we all saw how horrendous this can really get with culture. During the whole woke era, there were the ESG scores, the environmental, social, and governance investing, pioneered by BlackRock. Ostensibly, it was sold as a way to make capitalism more ethical, but in reality, it gave BlackRock an even more subtle form of control. Now it could decide what counts as good behavior, and suddenly every company wanted a virtue signal and become all performative, whether it be Disney, Nike, Apple, whoever. It's why the entire cultural landscape in the last 5 years went suddenly so strange, sending messages that the customers hated, all to get that extra investment money from BlackRock. Eventually, it got so bad and the backlash was so enormous that the companies had to get rid of it altogether. But if you want more information on that, check out this video here we did on BlackRock in the past, as slowly people are beginning to realize what this really means. We are entering a world where unelected financial executives now decide what's acceptable, what's moral, and what's even true. Where every bill, every click, every watt of power sends another payment to exactly the same place. In the end, maybe the system didn't collapse, it was just quietly bought out. And every day you live your life, you are playing into it. And thank you, Fume, for sponsoring this video. Make sure to check them out using the link in the description below.